2. I'm gonna read my notes because I don't know what year it is. This is Pure Decking for May the 5th, 2016. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and trying to find my pants. I'm Morps, and tonight I have, also looking for his pants, RU486.
I haven't found them.
Damn. Bob, are you currently wearing pants?
I might be.
Static, I know you're not wearing pants. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a side of, what is this? Nitroglycerin pills with Puerto Rican rum again.
Damn it, yeah. I want mescaline now. Come, he gets mescaline and I don't. Fuck this show.
I don't know who the pharmacist is, truthfully. BSV, what are you drinking?
Non-alcoholic vodka.
Okay. Hey, well then. Right.
Smoke weed every day.
Now that we've got that out of the way.
Every day.
And
I.
So... this blog post came up a little bit earlier this
week.
You
forgot the major.
I said we know Swab. Did I forget Swab? Did I miss you?
Yeah. No. What's he drinking?
You just Swab, asked me if I was wearing pants.
That's it. You didn't ask him what he was drinking.
Swab, what are you drinking?
I am drinking my homebrewed Sizer, which is basically just cider. But it's really strong and awesome.
Nice. And I am currently drinking... that's actually a lot of Jim Beam Devil's Cut. This is going to be interesting. I didn't realize how much I put in the cup, but we're not going to waste it.
Is it a sippy cup? Please tell me it's a sippy cup.
Well, I am trying to keep it classy.
So, Coley Straw, got it.
Well timed, PSV.
That is good. Next time we get a convention, everyone has to be drinking some hard liquor through a sippy straw holding their little pinky up.
At a bar.
Yeah.
And pull out the curly straw.
At a redneck bar.
Yes. I've got my concealed carry now. I'm good with it.
You can't have a gun in a bar.
Really?
Okay.
You've been here how many times?
Okay, yeah.
Hang on.
Good point.
I need to bring in an expert on having firearms and alcohol together. Madman,
I'm already here.
What are you currently armed with?
Bourbon and Taurus 38 Ultralight.
Now, RU has made a very interesting assertion right before you came in. He said you can't have gun in a bar.
Oh, yes, you can. You can have a gun in a bar. Unless the bar posts that you cannot have a gun. Some bars post signs that say, please bring in your firearms, and if they are needed, fire judiciously.
Blue screen of death.
you may not be aware of the United States Constitution, Amendment 2, the right of its citizenry... to bear arms shall not be infringed. I know it also mentions something about a militia, but that's irrelevant to this particular conversation.
But...
Yeah.
Alcohol... okay, that's
now, I'm not going to say you should be shooting people while drunk, but yes, it is completely fine to have a gun in a bar.
Well, I thought it would be illegal to carry a firearm while consuming alcohol. To me, that would just be a common sense thing.
Oh, okay. Are you the people that can't handle a gun while drunk weed themselves out?
It is what you call a self-correcting problem. actually, are you, to be completely fair, I did, as I just mentioned, I do have my concealed carry now, and actually, yes, it is on the books that if you are consuming alcohol, you are not supposed to have your firearm with you. However, everyone ignores that unless you're the dumbass shooting people who don't deserve it, in which case you're probably going to get your ass shot. So,
well, now I'm going to have to be more cautious who I insult in an American bar.
An armed society is a polite society.
But it's not exactly a free society.
It's exceptionally free. Most societies don't have to worry about your citizens killing you. It's the government that kills you.
Okay, and now thinking on that line that, you know, armed people in a bar and the way freedom of speech is being curtailed by childlike members of card-carrying feminists now?
Those feminists wouldn't be allowed to control very much speech if they spoke in the wrong bar.
And a gun wouldn't even be needed.
No, they're not going to shoot somebody. They're just going to properly beat them with a beer bottle and take them out back.
You're barbecuing, aren't you, madman?
What?
You barbecuing?
No.
Oh, thought I could hear a barbecue.
I'm opening up a box of Full Metal Jackets. All I had was hollow points in my 38, and I'm not allowed to fire those at the range, and I was switching out my bullets before I went to my concealed carry class.
All right, I'm going to take my leave, because this is just really starting to piss me.
So you want to get away from the guns and talk about Apple deleting people's music?
Did they delete that piece of shit YouTube U2 album they put on everybody's shit?
Probably among them.
Is it Joshua Tree? I like Joshua Tree.
No, remember U2 put an album out and
Apple put it in everyone's
Apple
library, whether you wanted it or not.
It to everyone's and then you couldn't actually delete it for a while.
They had to patch iTunes just so you could delete the album because so many people didn't want it. It ended up in mine because I bought an iPhone around the time. I'm back on Android now, but
how bad must people hate you that they refuse to even have a free upload of your song?
Well, Bono took the classic mistake of mixing politics and entertainment. There's a reason you don't know how Michael Jordan votes. It's because he wants to sell you shoes, and he doesn't want you not buying his shoes and t-shirts because you don't like the way he votes.
I'm pretty sure Michael Jordan's a communist.
He probably is. Well,
I don't know. He definitely takes advantage of China, at least when it comes to Nike.
Kind of beside the point. So, anyways, the article here is from blog.vellumatlanta.com. And the post here is, Apple stole my music. No, seriously. And so apparently this guy called Apple support and spoke to someone named Amber, and who told him the software is functioning as intended.
It's intended to delete my archive?
And the response is yes. He actually asked that. You can check the link. I threw it in the chat room there. So basically what had happened was he signed up for Apple's online music, or Apple Music, the streaming thing for your phone and iTunes. Yeah. And one of the settings for this, apparently, is to upload all the music on your hard drive and delete it so that all of your music is streamed. And apparently it scans through and tries to do identification of your music. It tries to figure out what track is what and tag it and then upload it. And if it thinks it already has it, it doesn't upload it. It just deletes it and then plays it from the internet from that point on. So, and apparently some people have not found ways to turn this off.
What if the internet goes down?
Yeah, you can't
listen to your music.
You can't, yeah. So he goes through this whole thing that apparently iTunes, when he turns on Apple Music, went through his hard drive, looked to see if his music was in Apple's database. If it was, it would delete it from the hard drive. And if it was not, it would upload it, encode it in AAC, and then delete it from his hard drive. And so this led to some problems. If Apple serves me my music, that means I don't have Wi-Fi access. I can't listen to it. When I say my music, I don't just mean the music that over 20 years since iTunes existed, I painstakingly imported from thousands of CDs and saved to my computer's internal hard drive. I also mean original music that I recorded and saved to my computer. Apple and Wi-Fi access now decide if I can hear it when, where, and when. And then here's the real bitch. What Apple considers a match often isn't. That rare early version of Fountain of Wayne's I'll Do the Driving, labeled as such, it still has the same label, but it was replaced by the later released, more widely available version of the song. Piano demo of Sister Jack that he downloaded from Spoon's website has been replaced with the common demo version of the song. So apparently he had like rare copies of versions of some of these songs, and Apple Music deleted those rare copies and was streaming him just like the shit off the CD.
Oh, wow.
That's gonna hurt.
That's straight up theft. He could clip a little cloud and re-download them all back, but it's going to be the version Apple gives him, not the originals he had.
Well, that and from the description, imagine accidentally any artist that makes the music puts this on a computer that they store their music on.
Well, that's what this guy's saying, is that he produces music, and they took his music
and deleted it. Now, those tracks after might not have been completed.
Yeah, and he encoding it in whatever this...
probably AAC. It's Apple.
Which normally when you're making music, you want the original.
You'd like to keep it in WAVE because of the resolution of WAVE. Yeah. So he then goes through Apple's iCloud Music license, trying to figure out if what they just did is okay. It says you expressly agree that your use or inability to use the Apple Music service is at your sole risk. In no case shall Apple, its directors, officers, employees, agents, affiliates, contractors, or licensors be liable for any direct, indirect, incidental, punitive, special, consequential damages arising from your use. This is the boilerplate software license agreement that has all the you can't sue us if the software fucks up in it. Well, the software fucking up. Oh, and it's probably got binding arbitration in there somewhere, too. He goes on to say that he had made backups a couple of weeks ago, so he got as much of it back as he could. And so now he's talking about, you know, hang on to your media. One day you don't buy a movie, you buy the rights to a movie, which, you know, if you buy stuff on Amazon, that's kind of true. You don't get a copy of it anymore. Mm. It streams it.
Oh, same thing with Steam. I don't own EF2 or Borderlands. I have a copy of it in Steam.
The main difference is Steam doesn't go, oh, you have these other games on your hard drive. Let us give you the key to our version and delete your game.
Yeah.
So now here's where it gets fun. There's a whole bunch of Apple blogs refuting this guy's post, saying, no, he's wrong. He just doesn't know how to use his computer. And their forums are full of that kind of shit, too. So this one is from imore.com. Which, you know, appears to be a Apple-focused blog, so I doubt they're going to go attacking Apple very much.
I'll bet the guy who runs that has a big beard.
Nobody has really long hair.
Buddy Holly glasses? Sure. I'm betting Buddy Holly glasses.
So, how Apple Music works on your primary Mac when you enable... So I think this only affects if you have a Mac. I don't think it'll do it to a PC running iTunes. When you enable iTunes or Apple Music on your original Mac, it scans the service for your music library and matches any tracks you own to its streaming library. This is so you, when you're on a secondary device like an iPhone or iPad, you can stream those tracks at their highest quality without having to download local files. You know, interesting, they threw the ad in at highest quality.
So, yeah.
Wow.
At highest quality, that means it's also eating up your data like mad.
Oh, yeah. So if you have tracks that aren't in Apple's music library, say personal recordings, they will be uploaded as is to your iCloud music library. Those songs included in ALAC, WAVE, or AIFF will be uploaded as AAC 256 kilobits for easier storage. So, yeah. You know, oh, unless you happen to have them in these huge formats, which is exactly what you would want for, say, personal recordings. You have two libraries.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Say it's your own personal recordings under the Douchebag Agreement Act that you sign up to. Does Apple then own the rights to your own music?
They probably have the rights to. Yeah, they probably have that boilerplate. You grant a free, unrevocable such and such license, just like is on every other EULA boilerplate when it comes to uploading files.
You just happen to record the next greatest fucking song on the planet, and you can't make any money from it because Apple owns it.
Well, they don't own it. They just have a license for free, so they could technically redistribute it without paying you shit.
Exactly. You see what I mean? Like, how dangerous is this sort of thing that we're people seem to be agreeing to? Like, I don't think any of us have agreed to it, but...
Well,
you know, and, especially being content creators like we are, even this, it may just be the bottom rung content, but...
Also, all of our stuff is, we haven't, you know, even Creative Commons attribution, non-commercial, if I remember correctly. So, but Snopes even has a an entry on this because it's gotten big. So what's true? Some users have had music files deleted after signing up with Apple Music. What's false? Apple is not stealing music from people's personal computers. The deletion of files is most likely the result of user error or a problem with the software. So
that would be Apple's fault, problem with software.
So all of this points back to whether or not this is actually happening. This raises the very real possibility of something that could happen. And it looks like what I imagine is probably happening is there's probably a checkbox when you're first setting up this service. I've never activated it, so I don't know. I mean, I've got an iPhone, but I just switched off of it. But, you know, I could see there being a checkbox of don't keep local files, and it might be automatically selected or something like that. So that, or maybe it's worded in such a way that you don't really understand what it's about to do. Yeah. And, you know, so maybe the option is there not to remove my files, but maybe the defaults are to do it, or maybe it's worded in such a way that you think it's something you want to check, even though it's really not. Because I could see if your primary machine, you know, has only got, like if it's a Mac Air and you've only got 128 gigs or whatever it is on that little SSD, you know, you might not want to keep all of your music on there. Especially if you've got terabytes of music. So
they may see backup and not notice the part where it's also deleting from your hard drive.
Right. And that's, you know, I skimmed over a lot of that guy's blog because it's kind of ranty and written from a personal point of view, which makes it hard to talk about if I just read it flat out. But he talks about having the freed up hard drive space to prove that the files were actually gone and, you know, that it was a good thing he had made a backup recently and all that. But so this does raise an interesting concept. I mean, we were talking about it with Steam and Amazon, Netflix, how, you know, you're kind of streaming everything down. Now, Steam, you're still saving your files locally. So, theoretically, if I've got Team Fortress 2 installed and Steam goes away, they, you know, they've promised to release a patch. I mean, it could be patched so you could play it without Steam. In fact, I'm fairly certain that exists for most games in the form of the crack, so you can pirate it.
I've thought about it. And I think if Steam just like had to go away, users out there themselves would create some sort of LAN/program where people would still be able to run Steam and connect with each other.
Yeah, but if you don't have the original games, I mean, if you had them installed, it's not like they're going to uninstall. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. For those of us who, BSV, have large game catalogs, can't install them all at once because we don't have, you know, petabytes of information.
What, you don't just keep adding hard drives?
I envision your wall of just hard drives.
Why is it so hot in here? Oh, don't worry about it.
I coated
games keeping me warm in winter.
He slowly.
I don't think it takes that much space to install all the games you have.
I guess it depends on what games you have and how much they've been patched over the years. Like Team Fortress 2 started off as like what, 2 gig? 3 gig, and now it's up to like 18.
Yeah. I easily have 2 terabytes of games.
I'd hesitate to say a little bigger than that, BSV. Like, you know, that's like the guy with the 14-inch penis going, ah, it's not that big.
Yeah, but that's one hard drive.
Well, okay, but so size notwithstanding here, for lots of reasons, apparently, with our use comment. I don't like the idea of a service going, oh, you've signed up for our service now. We're going to reach into your computer and make sure that if you ever unsubscribe from our service, you don't have your music anymore.
Yeah, it's. But then again, it's Apple. Would you expect anything else?
I wouldn't. And that's kind of brazen on their part, you know?
But there's a lot of companies doing that now. They're just like, well, we're the only game in town. Go fuck yourself. You know?
Static, are you trying to get a word in?
No, I was just going to say, I find it funny that it happened, one. But, you know, that this leads me to the second point of make sure you got your crap backed up. That's my biggest thing.
And you should anyways, because of shit like ransomware, virus, you know, just come through and wipe out your drive, right? But,
yeah. This just happened to be failure by a company instead.
So I'm sitting here going, man, this is a scary future, because you've always kind of had that assumption that once you had a file on your computer, you had it. You know what I mean? Especially if you back it up. But if services are just going to, oh no, you're on the Apple Music provider, so we're just going to delete all the other music we find attached to your computer because you only get your music from us. Although, hell, I guess Facebook kind of tries to treat your friends like that, doesn't it? Anybody else get those snarky emails from Facebook? Your friends miss you, because obviously if you don't log into Facebook, they can't talk to you.
That's creepy.
Isn't it?
But this is why I forever will ride the high seas. The high seas guarantees me what I need.
Well, I mean, if, you know, think about something like this.
Yeah, that's
Windows
what I mean.
Go ahead.
I was just about to say, like, this is it. You know, the high seas will provide as long as you know how to get it. And it doesn't take it away once you unsubscribe.
Well, and, you know, hell, Windows wants to become a subscription service. They've been talking about that for years. Can you imagine your operating system just doing it? Digging through your shit and going, oh, no. You have to get that through us.
And that's when it stops being your operating system.
Yeah.
Like, I want the tool to do what I want it to say, what I want it to do. The tool doesn't decide what it wants to do.
My hammer has become a wrench. This is
first
not
couple
what
of
I
times
mean.
That Microsoft pulls that shit, and wow, look at the Linux install base go up. I mean, it's just, but
like, I will bitch molds. About wine, and I will whine about wine, but eventually wine will work. It may take, handing Morps a couple $100 in a six-pack.
No, but it'll work. You'll have to hand him a crate of wine to get wine. Wineception.
If it's good wine.
I'm just going to get heavy to homebrew it for you. How's that? Would that cover it?
God.
Hi, Heavy.
I don't know. I'm just going to leave that where that lies. We're just going to leave that there.
Actually, Rofaxin's P-Wine. How's that?
You know, Rofaxin, when we were doing the drinking show, he had some interesting shit, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
I don't know if I want to try turning most vegetables into wine.
Rofaxin is what you like to call a kamikaze alcoholic. He will have a crack at pretty much anything.
Didn't he make something out of Mountain Dew as well? I mean,
yeah, that shit turned out terrible, though.
Yeah, that's a horrible idea.
But no, they drank it. Do once again, kamikaze alcoholic.
Well,
orange,
you can't let it go
raisin
to waste.
Wine if you want to go something Mountain Dew-ish. And turn out pretty decent.
So, I think the bottom line is, if you have something and you care about it, make a couple copies of it, preferably on something that can't be deleted. So maybe a Blu-ray burner is not a bad investment.
Air gapping is your friend.
Those things hold like a couple of terabytes, don't they?
For what? For a Blu-ray?
No, it can't be terabytes.
I forget.
Hold on a minute. I have one. 1 second.
50 gigabytes.
50 gig? Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Half terabyte, that's what it was.
What's the lifespan
of
the Blu-ray disc?
Oh, no, that's a
dual
layer. Regulars can 25.
Oh,
and that's not even a terabyte, dude.
What's the lifespan of a Blu-ray disc?
10 years, probably.
It depends.
That's what it
is
for CDs.
Exposed to sunlight.
Mm.
Your best solution is to go get like a Western Digital cloud book or something like that that you can hook up network wise to your system. And I mean, those are coming now in what, four terabytes easy,
sure.
And it's
sure.
Like $100 or so, maybe 150 depending on what size you get, and back up, unplug it, stick it in your Fire Safe,
and do that yeah. every month, you know.
Well, I'll tell you something I'm looking at for this weekend is I'm probably going to set up, I've been talking about it for a while, I'm going to take my old box, and I'm probably going to set up an unraid system and see about creating a worm drive. For anybody who's not aware, write once, read many. They're fantastic for backups because the only way to delete them is to get into the server and delete them. You cannot do it as a client. It's got write or write only or create but not edit or delete rights. You can probably get fancy with the permission to do something similar on a MyBook or another NAS, but that's kind of what I want to set up. That way, my client, if I, once I put something on the NAS, the clients can't remove it. So if you ever get malware or install the wrong music service, you can't lose your files.
Dude, everyone had a pet as a child, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Pets no.
don't last forever. Either there's digital content. Get used to grieving.
That's one way a whole different viewpoint.
I mean, I've lost my first lot of everything I had. Backup save weekly, and my whole backup system just shit itself. How many backup systems am I meant to have? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, what's the old saying? Two is one is none?
And I was devastated for a month. And once the grief of it, it was good. And that was 2.5 terabytes worth of data gone.
Yeah.
And seriously, it's like losing a pet. Because you've looked after and kept it clean and fed it and watered it. Not so much water, but you know what I mean.
That's why you lost your backup. You don't water your backup.
No, I think it was walking it from the car at 100 miles an hour. but another big one is get ready for loss. Everyone's going to experience it. It's going to happen sometime down the track.
Yeah, but this isn't, you fucked up a hard drive. This is a company reaching in and saying, no, you've agreed to our service. We're deleting your shit, so you have to get it from our service.
Yeah, I was talking on your own home base stuff. Like,
gotcha.
I'm quite prepared at this point in time that I'm going to lose my Steam account at one point in time. I've already come to accept that this may happen. Because it's come close a couple of times, and without the help of friends, I never would have got it back. I've already accepted that my games library will disappear at some point, and I'll have to start again. Yeah. I know none of you all are prepared to go through that, but at this point, I just don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah, it's just a large investment to lose, that's all.
It is a large investment, but I don't know, maybe I've just become too old and cynical that, rebuilding and starting again is easier than being all fucking worried constantly about it.
I'm not worried. I just don't want it to happen unnecessarily and kind of want to prepare for it. No one constantly worries about flooding, but if you have a house in a flood zone, you generally buy flood insurance just in case.
You don't live in Australia, do you? Like, you're not playing, ooh, what bit me just then? Is it a spider or an ant right
what
now?
What bit me? That's a game.
Yeah, the idea of worry goes out the window after a while. Oh, that was painful. I wonder if that was a poisonous spider or an ant.
I'm not worrying, I'm just preparing. There's a slight difference.
You know, do I need the anaphylactic shock treatment or do I need antivenine? These two things I do not have on my table, so, meh. I don't care. Anyway.
All right, let's move on to this next one. This was going to be the discussion topic until this Apple thing came up because it was more interesting to me. So apparently, a Australian computer scientist named Craig Wright claimed to be Satoshi Nakamoto, the guy who invented Bitcoin. And there was some round and round about the encryption key and... several people proved that what he was posting was stuff that had already been encrypted, and then an account that was believed to belong to Nakamoto came up and said, no, I'm not Craig Wright. So I'm not quite sure what he hoped to accomplish by claiming he created Bitcoin, though.
Yeah, maybe it was just like it started out with a small lie in a bar one day. And it got out of hand.
So the Engadget article goes into how, well, it doesn't really matter who created it. It's you know, way beyond their control. And there were several threads on Reddit, because like I said, this was going to be the discussion until the Apple thing bumped it. There were several threads on Reddit who talked about how he was trying to set up some kind of a scam. Which, by Thursday, Wright has withdrawn his claim, saying he didn't have the courage to prove he was Satoshi Nakamoto. For 4 days, he went from being the man behind Bitcoin to a scam artist on the hunt for a little glory. So, I don't know. I guess he was trying to get notoriety, because, I mean, I think he teaches. So, but everybody else is, ultimately, in the Engadget story says, this isn't a big deal, don't worry about it, nobody cares. So, I don't know. Suave, I know you follow Bitcoin a bit. Do you have any care about who actually wrote it?
Honestly, when I didn't even know that it was fake until you just mentioned it now. I remember seeing a news article about it like last week or something about him coming out saying that he's, you know, the creator of Bitcoin and everything. And even then, I didn't care. It's like, it doesn't really matter. It's just this like piece of code that somebody's put out there. And like, yeah, that'd be kind of cool, but whatever, it doesn't really matter. It's already out there. Everybody's using it. We're not looking, no, nobody who's using it is looking for some like big face behind it, like Steve Jobs or anything stupid like that.
Well, it's just another tool. And it's not like it's not like he's doing a lot of major active contribution to the code base at this point, is it?
I don't think so.
I mean, it'd be one thing if it was like Torvalds coming out and saying, I didn't actually write Linux, guys, but I've been maintaining it for the past 20 years. So, I mean, that's not, you know, I mean, I don't know how that would fly, but, you know, the dude's been running it the whole time, too. So, versus Nakamoto, who's like released it and then disappeared.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I don't know if it even matters. I guess we'll move on. Next one up is from pymnts.com. Pymnts, I guess. I don't know how you'd say that. FBI Cyber Division Assistant. Cyber Division. You know what they're doing all day long.
Masturbating.
AOL chat rooms. Okay. Yeah. Cybering meant something really different when I was growing up. You know? You had to watch out about what AOL chat rooms you logged into because you'd get weird messages.
So many weird messages.
Age, sex, location.
FBI Cyber Division Assistant James Taylor, or Director James Traynor, not Taylor, Traynor, is telling businesses that though ransomware attacks are on the rise, it's best not to pay hackers when the situation arises.
It depends. How much am I going to lose if I don't get my shit back? And how much is he asking for?
According to the FBI, there's been a significant increase in cyber criminals gaining unauthorized access to corporate networks in order to encrypt data and then extort the company to retrieve the key, the Wall Street Journal reported on Wednesday, May the 4th. Despite the unbelievable surge in ransomware threats during a speech earlier this week at the Center for Long-Term Cybersecurity, at the University of California, Berkeley. So what?
That's pretty poor writing, because the way it's written is that there was an incredible surge in cyber, ransomware attacks during his speech.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it does say that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Despite the unbelievable surge in ransomware attacks or threats during a speech earlier this week at the
He should stop giving those speeches. Sorry.
Yeah, he said that paying hackers only encourages criminals to do the same. Once they've seen their tactics are working, they will continue to attack. Some companies have an absolute policy not to pay, and other small companies have paid, he said. Though Wall Street Journal said Traynor expressed his sympathies to those companies that do become victims of ransomware attacks, paying the ransom only serves as incentive.
And half the time, paying the ransom doesn't even unlock your files.
You know, it's just like, I think Madman's got their thing. You weigh the risk of it. It's like, well, are we even going to get the key? Is it worth paying the, you know, the $400, $500 or whatever it is they're asking for? I mean,
Do we have another way of getting our data? Was it backed up before it was locked down?
Yeah. I mean, it's better than what they used to do. Of like, yeah, we copied all the incriminating data off your shit. You can pay us a couple million dollars, and we won't send it to all the newspapers. I mean, that's what they used to do.
Then you wouldn't get such fantastic writing as this journalist. Seriously, man, this is the problem we have in this world right now. This is called journalism. It's not. It's fucking pathetic writing that the dyslexic in the crowd can hear it.
So, continuing the trend of the government giving fantastic advice, according to the International Business Times, or ibtimes.co.uk, the British Intelligence Agency has some new advice for you. You might have heard the long-term standing security recommendation that you should change your password for the umpteenth time every few months if you want to stay safe online. But the UK government, on World Password Day, observed on May the 5th, repeated its advice against the routine practice, saying that it actually does more harm than good. In 2015, we explicitly advised against it, changing passwords. British Intelligence and Security Organization, GCHQ's Communications Electronic Security Group, wrote in a recent post. The article explains why we made this for many unexpected recommendation, why we think it's the right way forward. So GCHQ is telling people, don't change your passwords.
I wonder why.
So pretty much go out, change your password right now, do it every week.
If the government is telling you not to change your passwords, good chance they've probably got a ton of them. According to the CESG 16-page document called Simplifying Your Approach, forcing users to change your password every few months is often counterintuitive. The problem is that it doesn't take into account the inconvenience to users, the usability cost of forcing users to frequently change their passwords. While most password policies ask users to create and use passwords as long and random as possible, we often find them hard to remember and over the course of our lives in the digital realm. I'm not even going to finish the rest of this article.
I do believe the way around that is song lyrics change the S's to dollar signs, and instead of spaces, use pound signs.
Adding that to my rainbow table.
That's a little predictable, but you're right. That's, you know, ultimately it's length. If you make your passwords long enough, unless somebody's storing them in plain text, it really doesn't matter. I actually agree with the idea of not rotating your passwords every couple of months. Once a year, 6 months is probably enough, because most attackers, if they get your password, they're not going to sit on it for 2 months and then use it. You know, they're not going to wait for you to have the chance to change it. They're going to pretty much use it right away, either automated or not. And generally, you know if somebody else has been in your account, although I guess might not, but most of the time you'll notice if you're sending spam or, you know, your machine's acting up. But what you should do is you should make your password long. Song lyrics like Madman suggested are good. Phrases, using character substitution, maybe not go for the immediately obvious ones like replacing the S's with dollar signs. Maybe you replace the S's with the number 9. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, but as long as you can remember, that's what you did. But what's way better is actually using a different password per site. It's fucking hard to do because you sign into so many things. So unless you've got like a LastPass or some kind of a password database, but because what happens is you use the same password at work as you use on your random, I don't know.
No. Work is separate. Work is important and valuable, and other people's information is involved in this.
Madman, what's the hobby we want to make fun of people going to small forums for?
Bronies? I always like making fun of bronies.
Ooh, we'll make fun of bronies.
SJWs.
So, you know, you go on some little SJW brony forum that someone has set up somewhere using maybe they wrote their own software, maybe they found something that's, you know, 5 years old and they never bothered to patch it, whatever. And it turns out they store all their passwords in, I don't know, MD5 or even worse, clear text, right? That forum gets popped, and now your account, using the same email address and password, because you use the same thing everywhere so you can remember it, think about it, what if you use that same login for your bank as you're using for some random-ass forum out there on the internet? You know, if you're using the same password for your job, what if you're using the same password for your, you know, I don't know, what's it, Ashley Madison? You know, hell, your wife could find out. So.
My wife just... knows. I don't want my mistress to find out.
Oh, okay. Ah! Nice. So, the point is, they're not entirely wrong by saying you don't need to change your password as often, because I kind of agree with that. But at the same time, a government agency saying, no, no, don't change your passwords, kind of reeks as, you know, we've got your passwords, we don't need you to change them now. I'm sure that's not what's going on. They're just going with World Password Change Day, which I'm a security professional. I've been a security professional for years. I don't remember hearing that May 5th was International Password Day. Did I just miss that?
I think they make it up. But I heard bullshit on my saying your work password's different than your personal passwords. Am I the only one that does that?
No. It was calling BS that your work is more important.
Oh, BS that my work is more important. Okay.
You would be amazed at the number of people who use the same password for everything, and the password usually has 1, 2, 3, 4 in it.
Well, with my job, I know how threatening it could be if what I have access to is compromised.
So, same here.
I don't want that out there. They're completely different. Not even similar to the stuff I use at home.
And I agree with you, but you've been listening to me bitch about it for years now. So, in all honesty, Mad Ben, if you had not been hanging out with me for years listening to me bitch about this shit, would you have even thought to have done that?
I was using different passwords for different things before I met you.
Okay.
Fair like enough. My password had one. Now it wasn't like everything, so I had like, my email, which I don't have 5 email accounts, but my email had one, and then I had a login for a computer, and that login would be the same for whatever computers I set up for myself. So I did minimize it, but it wasn't one password for everything. It was like 3 passwords for everything.
Well, and a lot of people actually do that. They'll have the handful of passwords they use for important things, which hopefully every one of them is different. Then they'll have a handful of passwords they use for things that are important but not quite as important. And then they have the throwaway that they use on everything else. It's just, you know, to make the old joke, it's sad that Blizzard has better security for their games than some banks.
My authenticator, which I may need to find to get into my Battle.net account.
Yeah, you want to get in on the Overwatch beta. Still free. So.
Why not just create a new account?
Because I have 495 WoW characters in Epics and Legendaries. No, they're not going away. Even if they never get played again... they're not going away.
Did you not move your authenticator onto your phone?
God, no. You know how long it was after I stopped playing WoW that I got a smartphone?
No, because I don't know when you quit playing WoW.
Okay, I didn't have a smartphone while I was playing WoW.
Alright, well, speaking of smartphones... according to Ars Technica here, woman ordered to provide her fingerprint to unlock a seized iPhone.
Huh. Now, that does get around the argument of ownership, which I think is the only true argument on not complying with those types of warrants.
Southern California woman was recently ordered to provide her fingerprint to unlock a seized iPhone. According to a report by the Los Angeles Times, the case highlights the ongoing balancing act between security and convenience and how the law treats something you know, a passcode, as being quite different from something you are, a biometric. Under the Constitution, criminal defendants have the right not to testify against themselves, and providing a passcode could be considered testimonial. However, being compelled to give something physiological or biometric, such as blood, DNA, fingerprint, whatever, is not. As the Times reported, Pistar Bashkatov, good God, that's a name, Bashkatov, Tanzan? I tried. BKHCH. There are too many vowels in this. BKHCHADZHYAN. Anybody want to take a crack at that one? Come on, Suave. You used to read news.
Nope. It's Slavic.
Not even gonna try.
And I'm thinking a lot of consonants there.
But the vowels are not right either. Was ordered by a federal judge to provide her fingerprint on February the 25th, and the warrant was executed and unsealed on March 15th.
This is a U.S. citizen?
Yes. Maybe?
How are they not deported on that name alone?
Yeah. Why authorities wanted her name to unlock the phone is unclear, the Times noted. The phone was seized from a Glendale residence linked to Svevik Mesbran, who, according to a probation report, was I can't say that. I don't know how to say that. My lips don't work that way. Was her boyfriend and a member of the Armenian Power Gang with the moniker 40.
Slavic called it.
iPhones equipped with such a scanner is feature enabled can be unlocked. The fingerprint of the phone hasn't been unlocked. If the phone hasn't been unlocked within 48 hours, if the phone has been rebooted or has been sitting longer than 48 hours, the passcode is required. A search of federal court records for both that person and Mesroban came up empty, which suggests that any charges remain sealed or have not yet been filed. So, there's not that much else to go on here. So, you know, we went round and round and round on the whole being forced to provide passwords, especially because under British law, you have to provide it if asked. And we've got the guy who's being held in contempt of court for not giving up his password right now. The potential pedophile we talked about last week. So, this is very different. It's like, no, we're going to press your thumb to the phone to unlock it.
It's taking a fingerprint. And unlike the defense I think you should have against providing your password, such as, that's not my phone, I can't give you the password, can I go home now? If it's not your fingerprint, it's just not going to work, and then they let you go.
Well, how do they make sure you don't, I don't know, grab a radiator or something first? I mean...
You're probably in custody at this point.
Well, what if
so
you, like,
if you
know,
get around
like
to
jeans?
Grabbing the radiator with the cop there, kudos to you.
What if you get a sudden hunger for fingertips?
Or you know, you're wearing jeans. Can you, like, rub your fingerprints down? That would really hurt, wouldn't it?
To rub them all. Amount of time it would take to take cotton fiber to sandpaper your thumb.
Well, it's got rivets. It's got rivets in it.
Morp's retraction to that story. The Armenian Power Gang's number is not 40. It's 13.
Okay. Well, that's just what the story says was 40. Good to know. Also, good to know that RU knows the Armenian Power Gangs. Right. Next time we go bar hopping, we're going to listen to you when you say don't talk to them.
There's a reason I worked mental health, dude. It wasn't because of my insight into patients. It's just I knew really weird shit. And they didn't come out of Armenia either.
So, you know, that's a thought. If you're being arrested and you make the point of scraping your fingers on the concrete, what does that do? I mean...
It depends on how hard.
Is that destruction of evidence at that point?
Probably not.
Like, so we saw you chewing on your fingers there.
Actually, you know, you can bite your own fingers off with just like eating a carrot.
That takes a bit more willpower than eating a carrot.
It does, because you're hard-coded in your head not to bite your own fingers off. But hey, depending what you have on your phone, it may be in your best interest to bite your own fingers off and eat them
and swallow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't get into anything that terrible.
Well, at some point you have to wear, okay, do I ever type again, or do I let them find the shit on my phone?
Hey, like, what are the odds of being raped by Bubba?
Well, if it's only your thumb.
Hey, you and... still have two perfectly good joints left in that finger.
All I have to do is ram a metal pin into the end of it, and it will be fine.
Did you know you can just scar the ends of your fingers, and then the biometrics won't work, right?
Yeah, but what's the fun in that? Your options are limited.
Well, if you bite in, all you have to do is bite the skin off. You don't need to go to the muscle and bone.
The only way to be sure.
Being thorough.
Hey, if you're that worried, carry around a small vial of, I'm not going to say the name of the acid, but yeah.
Or the right fertilizer, fuck.
Hey, a bit of quicklime. Just add some water.
Well, if you really you want to be sure beforehand, remove your thumbprint beforehand and put on a fake prosthetic thumbprint you can just remove and destroy if needed.
Or here's what I'm thought. Saying is take the thumb of a hooker, keep it in your freezer to unlock your phone.
Exactly.
You want a toe? Right. I can get a toe.
This is a whole new line of Amazon products right here.
Somebody else's thumb. For your
there are a lot of condemned Chinese prisoners, people. I know a market we can tap into tomorrow. Go ahead and just register that domain name, Morps. And if you can remember the ones you registered while you were drunk this week.
I can't. What did I register?
I win! I told you, Analog, he wouldn't remember.
Yep. We talked about it yesterday.
What the fuck did I register?
We're not telling you.
Nope.
That's
do I need
fun
to log
part.
Into my DNS for account now?
You should. You'll laugh.
Yeah. Morphs is fun when he gets drunk. He doesn't remember. He'll never remember the time we were...
Yeah, just keep that quiet.
I'm sure there's all
that'll take a
of
team
reasons.
Of psychologists to dig out of his sub-memories.
Oh, that's a rabbit hole nobody wants to go down. Like, you did what?
You looked so amazing with that bouquet of flowers. turning it
well,
into
it'd
a hat
funnier,
rack was
except
fun.
I don't think I spelled stall right. So I got a misspelled domain name, which doesn't appear to point
that
anywhere.
Might be why it resolved whenever you were searching.
We did say check the spelling.
Well, we're not
going to
post
that. How did you spell
anywhere,
it, by the way?
Here, throw it in the chat. It doesn't go anywhere. It's going to a parking page.
That's correct. That's the correct way to spell it.
What?
Do you have any recollection on why you would have named it that and what it was for?
Well, if that's spelled correctly, then we're talking about a social network for when you're on the shitter?
There we go.
Bingo. Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner.
Yep.
Sweet, I'm going to have to build a website now.
It's going to be
look
what
I did today.
Progressive learning chatbot that talks back to you audibly through the speakers that automatically, if somebody has their volume turned down on their phone, doesn't matter. The program overrides, it turns up the speakers and starts spewing explicits while they're on the shitter.
Go to the doctor!
Is it meant to be green?
Next story up. This is from themerkle.com. There's a domain name. That's not the one I registered. Using Tor might become illegal. A lot of consumers will argue that someone who has nothing to hide would have no need for anonymous software such as Tor. Obviously, they've never had their IP banned for running... given how limited the number of privacy-centric options to browse the World Wide Web are, Tor and concerts are becoming more and more popular every month. Unfortunately, that success has not gone unnoticed as the U.S. Supreme Court has approved a rule change that will shake things up like never before. Excuse me. By granting every federal magistrate judge the right... This is in response to the child porn thing being thrown out last week. By granting every federal magistrate judge the right to issue a warrant for anyone using Tor, anonymity on the internet may become a serious offense.
Fuck doing the work right. Just change the rules.
Moreover, if the U.S. Congress does not undertake action to fight this ruling, it will go into effect as soon as December 2016. As a result, the FBI can legally search computers running Tor remotely, even if they have no idea where the machine is located or what it's being used for. Simply having anonymity software installed on a computer would be reason enough for the FBI to investigate that user to combat cybercrime.
Oh, what? I gotta go unplug some shit. I'll be back.
But judges don't have the right to do that. Judges cannot create law. They can't change existing law. They can only make sure law is being followed. So it would take an act of Congress to do this.
So, well, apparently that's a ruling they got from the Supreme Court, so I don't know. And the thing that's frustrating about this story, they don't, their links don't actually go to any of their sources. Now, they have a link here to The Last American Vagabond, which, you know, they've got a rule change PDF, which goes to, oh, damn, how did I not see this before? Oh, that's right, it's because it goes to a 404 on the Supreme Court site. Might not be real? I don't know. But, you know, hey, dig into it, and if you're going to run Tor, be ready to do some data destruction quickly. I recommend getting the transformer out of a microwave. You can run those lines straight into your hard drive's power line. So if you need to flip a switch, you know, you just hear a buzz and all that data is gone. Why was the computer rigged to do that? I was overclocking. Wanted to overvote my CPU for overclocking. I didn't know it'd blow up the hard drive.
Because fuck you, officer.
And that is the correct answer. Let's see. Looking at the clock, yeah. From the New American, Mark Shuttleworth has said that he will not put backdoors or weaken the encryption of Ubuntu. Does anybody care?
Who asked him to? Does it say who asked
him
to?
Everyone.
No, it's there. He's responding to Microsoft, basically saying, "Yep, we work with the government." Microsoft doesn't even hide it. Yes, they work with the government. Anybody who didn't know that, Microsoft works with the government. They don't even bother to hide it.
Yeah, so long as they're not hiding it, I can't complain to them. I know, so I just know what to do with the Microsoft machine.
And the last story I have for tonight before we go to Dojo is from the AP. Getting stitched up by Dr. Robot may one day be a reality. Scientists have created a robotic system that did just that in living animals without a real doctor pulling the strings. They have made a robot that does surgery. They tested it on animals.
Nice.
Much like engineers are designing self-driving cars, Wednesday's research is part of a move towards autonomous surgical robots, removing the surgeon's hands from certain tasks that a machine might perform all by itself. No, doctors wouldn't leave the bedside. They're supposed to supervise, plus they'd handle the rest of the surgery, nor is the device ready for operating rooms. But in tests, small tests using pigs, the robotic arm performed at least as well, in some cases a bit better, as some competing surgeons in stitching together intestinal tissue. Researchers reported in the journal Science Translational Medicine. Their purpose wasn't to replace surgeons, said Dr. Peter C.W. Kim of Children's National Health System in Washington, a pediatric surgeon who led the project. If you have an intelligence tool that works with a surgeon, can it improve the outcome? That is what we have done. So, they're building robotic assistants to surgeons, basically.
Don't we already have robotic-assisted surgery?
Well, I mean, this is robots that can perform parts of the operation. I mean, this isn't somebody remotely controlling the robot. This is software deciding where to, what incision to make, where to stitch.
Okay.
So when the surgeon's done doing the operation, he can go, robot, stitch them up and seal them up.
So, yeah. And where they were talking about parts the robot might actually be able to do better than a surgeon because, well, the robot would work, well, it'd certainly be more precise because, well, obviously machinery can be more precise than human hands. But at the same time...
No muscle tremors?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you also, too, you think about it. Assisted functions like this would mean that the doctor is really only calling the shots for, a much smaller percentage of it. The routine stuff you have the robots do. So,
does that mean fatigue? We can start paying,
so what?
Does that mean we can start paying doctors $15 an hour?
I don't know that that's what
I don't
want to
pay somebody that's digging around in my gut $15 an hour. Well, I want to pay them better than that.
They call say my surgeon's is worth. A real problem for surgeons, especially when you have to do, you know, these massive involved surgeries. If you've got a machine that can assist them, that can handle parts of it and maybe be more accurate than they are, that's faster healing time.
So first-hand experience, you know, with an incompetent surgical team here located at my hospital, but I won't name them, even though I really want to, because they're total, you know, jerkwads.
No, because then you risk revealing information about yourself, and you don't want to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You're using pseudonyms for a reason.
Right. So I said, I'm not, but... with the experience of cracking open the chest for open heart surgery, and knowing the crap job that they did, I'm not paying a robot who does as well as they do.
Well, to be fair, I doubt the robot's going to leave the scalpel inside this time.
Yeah, that really hurt.
Did someone leave a scalpel inside you?
Oh.
Fuck me. Well, not me really. Fuck you. That's gotta hurt. But anyway,
at least that's what it feels like. But no, they didn't.
Oh, so it's just
we're exaggerating
wristwatch.
For this sake.
Yeah.
Suffice to say, my sternum is still popping and cracking today, and it's a 9 on the pain scale, and it sets me to the floor.
I thought you were going back in for that.
No, the secondary surgery said my sternum's unremarkable, and it's the ligaments that are moving, and it's because I'm young that all my nerves are still firing, and I'm not old, and I, you know, shouldn't have had a heart attack at this age. Yay.
Well, I've got a drill press,
you
and...
You just shouldn't have done that.
You know, a bit of metal strapping.
It was a side effect of some chemicals you gave me to save my life.
Smoke weed right. Every day.
Every day.
Well, if you ever want to get it fixed, come on over to I Use Chest Fix, and we'll get some metal straps, some pop rivets, and a drill press.
Pop rivets. Make sure you get the neck bolts in while you're going in for it.
Hell,
you
if like it can fix a ribbit, 71 Mazda, it can fix you.
Oh, I'm switching to Angel's Envy now.
All right, I've got two things up for Digital Dojo tonight. The first one is hilarious. Anybody else remember the movie Sneakers?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. You remember the scene where they're on the little TRS-80 and they touch the wires to the circuit and the text on the screen decodes?
Yeah. Yes.
Somebody has written a C library that decodes whatever input is passed to it in that same manner. And
cool.
GitHub page has some nice animated GIFs showing it off. So it's in a terminal. It's a visual effect. It is not have any practical purpose. But if you just wanted to make your text terminal look awesome, it's a C library, so you can call it from damn near anything. And you could have custom code that just... everything on your screen has to fade in from encryption first.
That's
talking about fucking with law enforcement.
Oh, you, dude, if you fucked with law enforcement like that, you're getting extra years because they think you're Uber.
Sir, oh. I think he can whistle the nuclear launch codes into a phone.
Yeah.
Please tell me someone thought Captain Crunch could do that.
No, Mitnick. They thought Kevin Mitnick could do that. He laughed, and they thought that meant he was, you know, enjoying it. So they gave him years in solitary because the lawyer claimed he could whistle the nuclear launch codes to modems listening in the phone. And he thought it was so ridiculous he didn't even bother contesting it, so it stood.
That's how he ended up in solitary for all those years.
It is how he ended up in solitary, absolutely.
Yep.
I thought Captain Crunch was the one known for whistling and getting free phone calls.
Yeah, he used the Captain Crunch whistle, which happened to produce a 2600 hertz tone, hence the name Captain Crunch.
I know.
Yeah, It's a tragic story, man. Go watch the Mitnick movie. He got raped, man. Like, well, from Luddites that had no idea of, yeah, like, what he was doing. And that's the problem. This is the problem I keep saying. Like, really, when we're convicted of a computer crime, how are our peers going to judge us if they can't even work their smartphone? That's what I worry about.
Well, here's the thing with Mitnick. What he was doing wasn't even that intense as far as hacking goes, even for the time. Dude was just a fantastic social engineer. He, yeah, was able to talk his way into anything. And they decided to make an example out of him, and it was just bullshit. But he also didn't help his own case the way he handled a lot of stuff. So,
well, he didn't have the greatest social skills unless it was engineering.
That's also,
he wasn't
true,
you know.
So,
and I don't
final
think
thing,
he truly fathomed, like, because what he was doing every day and his buddies, that was completely normal. That was their world. Like, he didn't realize what the actual world was like until it, you know, took its pants off and bent him over.
Okay, Static, just so you're aware, I saw the link you just posted. Takedown is a fictionalization of his story.
I know.
And, well, I've met the man, and
name dropping.
Don't ask him about that movie. He doesn't get happy when he gets asked about that movie.
You ask him about the movie?
No, I saw somebody else do it at DerbyCon. And he got mad. He said, "Oh, they fucked up so much shit. It's not even close to real." So. But yeah,
so somebody who has a complex about himself. Got it.
Yeah, but if you go look at some of the interviews he's given and some of the other people who've talked about his situation, he spent a lot of time in jail, basically in contempt of court, and that was because his lawyers weren't really sure what to do because the law wasn't clear one way or the other. So
they were writing laws to catch up with what he did.
Yes.
And that's the shameful part about it.
But hell, Assange had the same damn problem over in Australia, if I remember right.
Yeah. They were writing laws pretty much as it was going to case. And plus, I don't... Spend two
don't
days...
Don't misunderstand. What happened to him was not right.
Just spend 2 days... analog in a room and no clocks, no entertainment, nothing like that. Just get your wife to bring you food and water 3 times a day.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, so you know what solitary confinement does just for 2 days. Try years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I understand maybe ultimately it might have been over the top and exaggerated. However, he did it to himself.
Some of it,
and not all of it, though. But I can't excuse him for what he did. Like, he did it. He knew he was fucking messing with shit, but...
Right. So, one, he's breaking... Not necessarily breaking the law, because there was no law directly that he was probably breaking. Because it hadn't been written yet, right? That's what we're establishing. Yeah. However... unethical above all
of it. If
there was
no law that he was breaking, then there's no reason to imprison him. So he had to have broken something.
They went after him mostly on the original Computer Fraud and Abuse Act.
Right.
Before all the amendments, before the new stuff they put in for modern systems. But mostly what he was doing was either impersonating other people, which mostly... the way he was doing it, you could almost argue was not a crime. I mean, it's impersonation, but he wasn't, like, impersonating a federal officer.
Theft by deception is a crime. Did he steal any information or any
yes, he did.
Money?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Theft by deception.
But he didn't... What he did with a lot of that information was interesting, you know? I mean, it's like... he was mostly exploring systems and just seeing what he could pull off. And he got caught, and they made an example out of him. And because their lawyers didn't know what the hell to do with it, that's why, you know, he ended up spending a lot of time not going to court. Jeez, it got up to almost when we graduated high school, didn't it?
It was a long time, man.
He spent a long time in jail. I mean, some of the charges were just absolute bullshit. Anyways, I mean,
some of the charges... You can't excuse it, but you can't exactly endorse what they did to him.
Regardless, you do the crime, you do the time.
It's sort of like what happened to Aaron Swartz, where what he did was damn near harmless, and they went after him to the point where he killed himself. I mean, it was just like, damn.
Sort of like, didn't kill himself.
Well...
Dude, anybody worth their salt knows he didn't kill himself.
That's the story.
Yeah. I won't perpetuate the bullshit. Not on our shows, man. He didn't kill himself.
So what's this other Digital JoJo link?
This one's from Cryptomancer. didn't we talk about that when it happened, that we didn't think he killed himself?
Yeah, dude, it was huge news.
Yeah.
Like, how did the guy have a drug overdose when he had no history of drugs?
Yeah, I thought I remember we went over that. Anyways, doesn't matter.
Anyway, yeah.
But it does matter. But not for sorry. This conversation.
Yeah.
So, crypto... No, I've not been drinking. this last article for Digital Dojo is Cryptomancer.org. Cryptomancer is free client-side encryption for things like Dropbox or Box or OneDrive or iCloud. It's a front-end library, basically. You install it on your machine, you point it at your Dropbox, and it encrypts everything so that when it goes into Dropbox, it's encrypted. But your client handles kind of front-ending it, so you don't end up doing weird syncs, you don't see things getting messed up. And files are encrypted at an individual level. So the syncing is still handled correctly, all the benefits of using things like Dropbox with versioning and all that. But it encrypts it. So if your Dropbox gets popped, or if Dropbox themselves are trying to filter for content for another cloud provider, it'll work with anything. I'm using Dropbox as the example because it's easy. I suppose you could use it with BitTorrent Sync, although I don't really know why. I guess if you're BitTorrent syncing something, you want to make sure somebody's got a key for it first. But it's local and file encryption that is designed to work with... cloud services, things like, OneDrive or Box or Dropbox. Kind of cool. You can get it for free. They've got a, pay what you want donation thing on the front page there. But they put out an iPhone app. They put out an Android app. Tons of awards. Worth looking into if you're using Dropbox for anything sensitive. Or OneDrive or whatever else.
Or cloud storage in general. I don't trust them for some reason. Would it work on any cloud storage device?
Well, it works on your local file system. So I would assume any cloud storage that's doing the whole sync a folder thing. You punch your key into it, it does the decryption encryption on the fly. So, yeah. The thing I like about it is it's got the Android and iOS app, so you can at least, use your mobile.
Cool.
That's all I really got. I drank more bourbon than I realized because I'm feeling it. It's awesome.
Yeah. Time to register some domain names.
Woohoo!
The Angel's Envious snuck up on me.
It happens, doesn't it?
It does.
I'm not even taking opiates and I'm noticing this shit. So it's like, damn.
Hey, they help intensify it. It's great.
Anybody have anything before we... BSV, I don't think I've heard anything from you other than snide comments all night.
After the comments of how much hard drive space was taken up by games, I realized I only had 10 gigabytes left on my main hard drive. And I've been cleaning.
I'm going to close it there. I think that's a good spot. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Where's the rest of my notes? I don't have all... I need to get like 6 monitors to do the show. It's crazy. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday, except we're doing it on Friday because that'll work thing. Galaxy 15 radio site, Twitter handle, feedback form, subreddit. Does anybody have anything before I play the Pac-Man noise?
Pac-Man?
Smoke weed every day.
Smoke weed every day.